This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. Got quite a few things on the go for today's program, not the least of which, Ag in the Classroom Saskatchewan is heavily involved with Ag Literacy Month. We'll hear more from Executive Director Sarah Shimko, and Provincial Agriculture Minister David Merritt provided some comments on the increased exports to India last year that the government touted from the other day. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour with Phil Spivak. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM. Up first is my chat with Sarah Shimko and what Ag in the Classroom Saskatchewan is doing for this month, as it is Agriculture Literacy Month.
This is Sask Ag Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. And Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. We're 1 week into Agriculture Literacy Month in Saskatchewan, and Agriculture in the Classroom has a lot planned for this month to mark the occasion. Executive Director of Ag in the Classroom Saskatchewan, Sarah Shimko, says they're visiting elementary and high school classrooms around the province.
This is always a really big month for us. It's a month where we coordinate volunteers from the agriculture industry and classrooms all across the province. And it's an opportunity for these volunteers to go into the classroom and share their personal story about agriculture. It's a chance for kids to ask questions, to be, you know, real curious and really connect with somebody who is involved in producing the food that they're growing. So this year it's really exciting because we have 161 volunteers that are going into 332 classrooms across the province.
Awesome. And I could imagine, depending on the grade that Ag in the Classroom is going into, there's going to be stuff specific to each grade?
Yeah, we have different tailored resources for kind of kindergarten grade one, the grade 2-3 level, and then the grade 4-6 level. And this year, we were very excited to have a new storybook that we were able to give to every single kindergarten to grade 4 student. And the storybook is called All the Farmers You Will Know. And it's a beautiful little storybook that showcases the diversity of farmers. And we were really pleased to partner with WS Marketing and Cargill to have one of these books for all of the 7,000 students.
Anything in particular for the high school students?
So for the high school students, we are focusing on our food budgeting game and our career exploration game that we have. So that presentation looks a little bit different for those students. Most of those presentations are also being facilitated by one of our staff members as opposed to a volunteer. You know, we find sometimes volunteers don't really love going into those high school classrooms.
All right. And is there anything else related to this year's theme that Ag in the Classroom is doing, with the theme this year being promoting diversity in agriculture?
Some of the activities are very specific, and I would say the overall reason that we chose diversity as a theme this year is we know when we look at the students in classrooms across the province today, it's not necessarily reflective of the farmers and the agriculture industry that exists today. But when we're considering the future of agriculture, we know that we are going to need more diversity in terms of the people working in our industry. And so it's an invitation for students of all, you know, backgrounds, interest areas to really consider maybe pursuing a career in agriculture when they're a little bit older.
And what's the feedback been like when Ag Literacy Month comes up in previous years? Has it been pretty good when it comes to this sort of stuff?
Yeah, our numbers are a little bit higher again this year. I think last year we were only around 6,000 students, and this year we're up at 7,400 students. Also during COVID, it seemed that a lot of our volunteers pursued other passions, I'll say. And so last year we had a bit more of a challenge finding volunteers. So we're so pleased with the number of new volunteers that have stepped up to the plate this year. This program is really only successful because of the volunteers from across the agriculture industry who choose to support this great initiative, and we can't thank them enough. And I would say, though, there's always room for more volunteers. So if anyone out there is listening and thinks, hey, I'm maybe willing to share my story with some students next year, please, please sign up. You can sign up at any time during the year to be a volunteer with us, and we'll flag you and let you know when the CALM volunteer applications open in January.
Agriculture Literacy Month is a nationwide effort, with provinces across Canada proclaiming the month. Coming up next on Sask Ag Today is Provincial Agriculture Minister David Merritt providing some comments and thoughts on agri-food exports to India increased last year compared to the prior year, and what that means for the province as a whole. Keep it tuned here for 620 CKRM. We'll be back right after these messages.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the program. Saskatchewan's agriculture minister says agri-food exports to India continue to grow by leaps and bounds. David Merritt says exports are up 71% since last year, due mainly to shipping more lentils and peas.
Obviously, we're very glad to see the numbers, and it's really a combination of a lot of work, right? Obviously, our producers are growing what India wants, first and foremost, but we also have the business community here in the province that is working diligently in India to obviously grow their business there and grow the market there. I've had the privilege of being into India and speaking at conferences there at actually their big Pulse Conclave a few years ago, and really talking about the importance of trade with India and the pulse industry. As everybody knows, we're the world leader in lentil exports and also with peas as well. And we were pretty happy to see what India did to obviously reciprocate to the producers here in Western Canada with the removal of the tariffs, and really allowed the prices on the pulses to move in an upward manner, which we really did want. And one point that I obviously did talk to when I talked to officials in India was that is the concern we had around the tariff back then, and to see that removed and the business community flowing quite well. I had the privilege of meeting with those companies, and they really do like the Western Canadian lentils. They really do. They grind better, they tell me, and make a better flour for the industry. So, but you got well over a billion people that are eating lentils not once a day, not twice a day, three times a day. So it's important for us to, you know, build on this relationship, build the trade, and we can just hopefully see that this trade continues to grow.
He notes Premier Scott Moe recently returned from a trade mission to India.
Well, yeah, and I mean, obviously he was there for more than just ag as well, but he did talk about ag. But obviously India is a big buyer of potash. Also, we signed a big agreement with them for uranium as well. So it's really important for us to build on that relationship and the importance of it. So, but, you know, from my perspective as the ag minister, this is good news, and to continue to see this group, we're up over 71% from 2022. So, you know, that's a big number when you see the export numbers of lentils and peas and chickpeas into India.
Merritt says it's important for Saskatchewan to maintain good relations with India, considering the federal government's recent spat with the most highly populated country in the world.
Very much so, Doug, and I think that's why you saw us make sure we opened an office in Delhi as well, is to build on that. And we've heard that, you know, the companies there, and even at a government level, I've met with the federal ag minister in India as well, and other federal ministers, and talking about the relationship and building on that. And I mean, we just have the product that they do want. And the one thing that I have talked about, and the companies have talked about, is they really talk about not only what we grow, but how we grow it. They really started to look at this whole sustainability piece. And when we can show them the numbers that we have on our carbon footprint for growing lentils and peas, These companies are really getting taking notice of that. But the one thing that kind of really got me intrigued is when I talked to one of the biggest buyers of pulses from Saskatchewan, and his reason being is totally because of the way they grind. And that's what he likes. And in fact, he just told me here the last time I was over there is that he is exclusively buying his lentils from Western Canada.
And he hopes that India will continue to extend the lower tariff rate for Canadian lentils past April 30th.
Yeah, I am. And I mean, that's what they, you know, they've done that historically, too. They give the year and the year. And I'm hoping that when we get closer to that date, that they will extend it again. And I'm sure the business community is also engaged in that. But our officials on the ground in India, in our office, are meeting with officials in India as well. And I'm very hopeful that we'll hear before that they've extended that that removal of the tariff on especially on lentils and peas for us.
That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt. Coming up next on Sask Ag Today is Ag Review with Doug Faulkner, as he'll have the latest ag headlines, followed by the Farm Precision Weather with Phil Spivak. He'll walk us through today's forecast. The program will return right after these messages.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Faulkner of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and My Grain Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to MyGrainExchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
Health Canada says it plans to completely ban strychnine after completing public consultations on use of the powerful poison. The announcement was made in a conference call between Health Canada officials and stakeholder groups. The official announcement is expected today. During the call, an official with the Pest Management Regulatory Agency said all uses of the poison will be illegal by September 7th. Registrations of the products containing the poison will be cancelled as of today. The decision came after an official reconsideration of a ruling originally released in 2022 that would have allowed some continued use of strychnine. Animal welfare groups applauded the decision on the toxin, which many consider cruel as well as a threat to non-target animals. The federal government has announced some $97 million in funding for farms and agribusinesses to adapt cleaner technologies like more efficient grain dryers, solar power, and precision agriculture technology. The cash will fund 148 projects through the Agricultural Clean Technology, or ACT, program's adoption stream, which prioritizes projects that will reduce greenhouse gas emissions. A further 14 projects through ACT's Research and Innovation Stream are also funded. This stream supports research, development, and demonstration of agricultural clean technology. Among the projects funded include 37 new grain dryers, 48 solar installations, and 31 purchases of precision agriculture technology. Other projects include anaerobic digesters, heat exchangers, and electric heating systems. To date, 414 projects have been funded through ACT to the tune of nearly $170 million. The ICE Futures canola market may finally be showing signs of stabilizing after its long downtrend, although the upside could be limited for the time being. While increased farmer selling on any moves higher would keep a lid on the upside, David Derwin of PI Financial in Winnipeg notes that many producers were already well sold on their canola. Support of seasonal price trends such as weather news during the spring planting season also often underpin values at this time of year. Statistics Canada releases its first planting expectations for the upcoming growing season on March 11th, with average pre-report expectations calling for a slight decline in seeded canola area from the 22.1 million acres planted in 2023. However, opinions are divided, and some analysts expect canola area could still be up on the year. Drones and robots will be put to work in the orchards of Kelowna, BC this spring as part of a pilot project to promote what the equipment maker calls precision farming. The city is collaborating with BC company Indro Robotics to use its aerial drones and ground-roving industrial robots to patrol 80 hectares of apple, pear, and cherry trees to monitor fruit health and growth. A statement from the city says the equipment will help farmers better manage their crops. Indro Robotics CEO Philip Reese says in the statement that autonomous robots and drones can inspect crops and provide real-time data on plant health, soil moisture, and infestations. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, this morning it was a bit cloudy, but are we going to see any sort of sunshine here for today?
Yeah, it's going to gradually break through. By day's end, most of us should see, if not a mostly sunny, at least a partly sunny sky. Pretty decent afternoon all around. Temperatures in the minus teens. We'll try for minus 11. The cloud cover is really going to be the limiting factor. There are some days we can warm up without the sun, just on the air mass itself. But to really get to that minus 11, we need some sun. So somewhere between minus 11 and minus 14, depending on just how much sun does break through. But the trend is clearing, and that continues for tonight. Partly cloudy sky, the low minus 20. Tomorrow, much brighter day throughout. Minus 7 is the high. A warmer mass is building in. A nice sizable ridge of high pressure is extending across the country. And we'll see that working through here with a clear sky. Minus 11 Friday night. So Friday night's low is today's high. And that sets us up for a nice start to the warming on Saturday. 1 degree for the afternoon. A little breeze. The wind is not too strong this afternoon, nor tonight, nor tomorrow. But Saturday, it does pick up a little bit as we get back into those positive temperatures. 3 degrees on Sunday, 5 degrees on Monday, and somewhere in that range, 1 to 5 degrees throughout the week.
Thank you very much, Phil. Normal highs for this time of year, minus 2. The lows are minus 14. Sun rose in Regina at 7:28 this morning, and the sun will set at 6:52 later today. Taking a look around the province, in Assiniboia, minus 14, Estevan, minus 15, Mooseman, Yorkton, and Melville, minus 13 degrees, Saskatoon, minus 21, Swift Current, minus 11, Weyburn, minus 18. The least cold spot in the province is in Cypress Hills at minus 8.5 degrees, and the cold spot is a tie between Rosetown and Scott at minus 24.9. What Phil was talking about earlier, about the clouds gradually moving away and breaking away for the sun to come through. It is sunny in Regina. West-southwest wind at 9 kilometers an hour. Humidity at 80%. Temperature at minus 18 or 0 Fahrenheit. And the barometric pressure at 102.6 and rising. In Moose Jaw, also sunny. Winds are calm and the temperature minus 16. Again in Regina, sunshine. West-southwest wind at 9. Temperature minus 18. Back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience. McDougallAuction.com. Grain contracts were a very hot issue following the 2021 drought. A number of farmers had to pay penalties for not growing enough crop to fill the contract. This made some producers think twice about signing contracts, and that hesitancy may have been costly for some this year. The Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan has been lobbying for standardized contracts. Jeremy Welter from Corrobert is one of two APAS directors from District 6.
All grain will be sold under a standard contract, which offers fair and equitable and clear, easy to understand penalties. We're not there yet, but it's definitely something that that a number of groups are still very actively working their way towards.
Is this an issue where the government or governments need to get involved and maybe get the two sides sitting down together and moving forward on this?
My personal opinion is yes, absolutely. Because while I think it's fair to say almost unilaterally across the board, you would find the vast majority of farmers would say contracts need to be fair, they need to be equitable, they need to be easy to understand, and currently contracts don't tick any of those three boxes. Are you going to get grain companies to agree to that? No, probably not, but let's be honest, they've got a little bit of a cherry position right now, so why would they be willing to negotiate to give that up, right? I do think that this is definitely something that it needs to come down through legislation.
That's APAS District 6 Director Jeremy Welter from Corrobert. Keep it tuned here to 620 CKRM. SaskAg Today will return right after this next break.
You're tuned in to SaskAg Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of SaskAg Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumber yard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. The Alberta government and the federal Liberals aren't teaming up on a lot of projects these days, but both governments came together this week to announce a joint investment of $112 million for high-speed internet. The funding is to help provide connectivity to more than 22,000 households across rural and Indigenous communities in Alberta. Nate Glubish, the province's Minister of Technology and Innovation, was part of the announcement this week near Calgary.
As technology evolves, we can see now more than ever that technology itself, it's not just an industry, but it is actually the future of every industry. There's not an aspect of our lives that technology doesn't touch, from education to healthcare to every aspect of any kind of business that you might want to be a part of, to agriculture and everything in between. Every aspect of our lives is touched by technology. And without connectivity, that technology is meaningless. So as we look for ways to provide a better life for all Albertans, and including Albertans from rural, remote, and Indigenous communities, we need to solve the connectivity problem. And that is why I'm so proud to have brought forward the Alberta Broadband Strategy in 2022, which included our $390 million commitment in partnership with the federal government, who's matching us dollar for dollar, to ensure that we reach 100% of Alberta households by 2027 to ensure reliable high-speed connectivity. Chief, we were talking about this before. You know, you had expressed your hope that this is not just an announcement on paper, it's not just a commitment of dollars, but it's a commitment to the end result. And that end result of ensuring that every member of your community has access to reliable high-speed internet is one that we share. And so I want to make that commitment to you today. This is a huge investment into your community and to many others, but we're about getting the job done.
That's Alberta's Minister of Technology and Innovation, Nate Glubish. Hopefully we'll have Cody Glyden on later on in the hour. He's over in Fort Qu'Appelle for the Fort Knox Lottery. Coming up on SaskAg Today, in the meantime, we'll have the market update, look at how grain prices at Viterra are doing, as well as the livestock report. We'll hear from Heartland Livestock Yorkton for today. Keep it tuned here to 620 CKRM. We'll be back right after this.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Market update is brought to you by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. Looking for the perfect vehicle? They'll find a match that exactly fits your agriculture lifestyle. Proudly serving southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years. Grain prices at Viterra were up and down in early trading today. Canola is up $7.40 to $5.61.32. Oats is down $10 to $2.75.32, and number one red spring wheat is up $5.42 at $2.97.69. The rest were unchanged. Durum, $398.40. Feed barley, $225.58. Chickpeas, $1168.44. Flax, $606.04. Lentils, $721.50. Yellow peas, $437.98. And feed wheat, $212.38. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is up 12¾ cents at $6.58 a bushel. Up next is the Livestock Report.
The SaskAg Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock at 842-4574. Now here are the latest quotes.
Good afternoon. This is the Yorkton Heartland Livestock Market Report for the week of March the 6th. Wow, lots of snow in the Yorkton and surrounding areas. 12 to 14 inches, what we're hearing. So that means we just had a very light run, 240 in the short, 170 cows and bulls, a total of just over 400 head going through the ring. Cows selling steady with lots of good quality cows this week. And bulls selling stronger. D1, D2 cows, 145 to 160. Sales to 161, 162. D3 cows, 130 to 140. These blemished cows with lumps and bumps and weaker cows, 85 to 110. Cows are averaging 143. We had a package of 14 red heiferettes, 1,280 pounds. They topped out at $221.25, over $2,800. Good job to that producer. From that good Grandview area, 1,700-pound cows, they topped out at 162. Good bulls, 150 to 160. Sales to 166, 167. Bulls are averaging 156. From that good Priestville area, 2,000-pound bull topped out at 166.50. A job well done there. On to the pre-sort sale. Just a small sale, but everything sold extremely well. 450-pound steers, 486. 500-pounders, 453. 600-pounders at 405. 650-pound steers at 397. My favorite pen, 710-pound black steers, 369. The 780s at 342. And 900-pound steers at 314. On the heifer side, 450-pound heifers, 421. 510s at 405. 575-pound heifers, 380. The 650s at 346. 710-pound heifers at 331. 800-pound heifers, 304. And 850-pound heifers at 294. Highlight of the morning, 9 tan steers, 860 pounds, traded for 327. And 21 black heifers, 710 pounds, they topped out at 327.50. Next week's sale, with all the cancellations we had here, 1,800 head consigned so far, expecting 22 to 2,300. All classes of cattle selling very strong. And if you're looking for a bull sale to go to, today there is the Bar H Land Cattle Annual Bull Sale on offer. Two-year-olds and black Angus bulls and yearling Angus bulls for sale at the ranch south of Langenberg. Come for lunch before the sale. Sale time starts at 1 o'clock. It's also on DLMS. And next Tuesday, March the 12th, we have the Hollinger Land and Cattle Company Angus Bull and Female Sale with guests, the New Horizon Angus. At the farm at Neuter, watch for signs. Lunch at 11:30, sale at 1 o'clock. It's also on DLMS. Next Tuesday, March the 12th at 1 o'clock. That's it for this week at Heartland, Yorkton. I'm Harvey Exner. Have a good day.
The latest pork prices are at $198.18 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
It's the SaskAg Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
Statistics Canada says the country posted a merchandise trade surplus of $496 million in January as imports fell to their lowest level since February 2022. The surplus came after a revised trade deficit of $863 million in December compared with an initial report of a $312 million deficit for the final month of 2023. Stats Canada says total imports dropped 3.8% in January to $61.8 billion. The move came as imports of consumer goods fell 7.1% due in large part to a 19% plunge in imports of pharmaceutical products. Excluding pharmaceutical products, imports of consumer goods were down 3.8% in January. Meanwhile, total exports fell 1.7% to $62.3 billion as exports of metal and non-metallic mineral products lost 6.2%. Exports of aircraft and other transportation equipment and parts also dropped 13.9% in January. In volume terms, total imports fell 4.1% in January, while exports dropped 1.8%. On the markets, the TSX is up 139 points at 21,733. The Dow is up 155 points to 38,816. Oil is down 18 cents at $78.95 per barrel, and the Canadian dollar is trading at 74.20 cents U.S. And that's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. And that's going to do it for Thursday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have yourself a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.